All right, good to have you with us, and hope you have a blessed time here. And I know we're going to have a blessed time because we opened the Word of God.
Exactly.
All right, so let's get started. Revelation chapter 1, I told you to read Revelation chapter 1. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through and read the whole first chapter and then come back in and then comment back through it. Is that okay? That way we'll read it, get the gist of all of it, and we'll have to. Everybody's got to, as people come in, you're going to have to kind of suck it up, buttercup, and let people sit beside you. Because, well, Josiah's not here. He's in Macon, he and Olivia, so they won't be here today. But just in case anybody else comes in. But Revelation chapter 1. Now we're going to study. It would be good for you to read the church age book, but like I said before, try to read the individual sermons, all right? Because the individual sermons will help you as we go through each verse by verse. Reason being, the church age book, if you didn't know this, the church age book is a compilation or a compiling of all those sermons, and then they took off the tape, Brother Lee Vail, and composed it. That's why many people don't like the church age book, because they think Lee Vail had something to do with it, which he did. But he put it together. And listen, Brother Branham read it. Before he passed away, after the seals were open, he read the book and released it. So that was in 1963, latter part of 63, 64. He released it and approved it. So as far as I'm concerned, it's the Word of God. It's what the prophet said, and many people say it's Lee Vail's book. Many people say it's a woman's book because a woman typed it. Anyway.
They say she wrote it.
Yeah, well, they say as she was typing it, she manipulated it, but no. If we believe Brother Brown to be a prophet, a word prophet, and that word prophet read that book,
okay.
If the Holy Ghost didn't interpret it as correct, then he would have changed. It would have been changed. Right.
I saw notes one time where Brother Branham actually, it was Brother Branham's handwriting, and he would write, like, during the writing of it,
yes.
He would write, like, letters to Lee Vail.
Right. Well, what he done was, he read it, and I'm sure he made additions and corrections, and then they printed the book. But he read the book as it was printed. So, I believe it's something. It's all, to me, it's got all the major doctrines in it. It's got all the things in it for a new convert. I would not let a new convert have a seal book.
Right.
Until about 10 years after they become. Well, not now, because the time we're living in, the 11th hour worker may get a little more. But the church age book is more, stays right with the doctrines of the Bible. But those individual sermons, he preached each individual sermon out of the Bible. All right? So that's why I told you to read the individual books if you want to. If not, we're going to read it. I mean, we're going to read here. So, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now watch. Excuse me. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. This is not three people here. Or two people. All right? To show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. I'm telling you what I'm going to do, and I'll tell you here before, when I get finished with revival, I'm kind of thinking on a sermon called A Transfer of Power. Okay, A Transfer of Power. So just keep that kind of running around in your head, because that's what I've been thinking about. Because there is a transfer of power. All right, because look, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. So God gave something to Jesus Christ, the position, not an extra person. But a position that God was what? Condescending to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ condescending to a messenger. And let me give you a little bit of background about this. John is called the Revelator because he wrote the book of Revelation. And he also wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And he also wrote the book of John. Alright, so John was a really young guy. He was the only apostle to die of natural causes. He was like 90-something years old when he died. He actually pastored some of the churches that Paul had set up, even after Paul had had passed off, because Paul passed off in like AD 66, and I think this was in 96 or something that John went to the Isle of Patmos. But John was commissioned, and we'll read it here now, to write the things he saw, not to interpret. But to write the things he saw and send it to the churches. All right. So John was the young boy that was under Jesus. Jesus goes off the scene. Paul goes off the scene. And John is commissioned. They're actually, John was trying to put some of the Gospels together. And the Romans or whoever it was, the hierarchy, didn't want him to do it. So they boiled him in oil for a long period of time. He just took a good bath and it made his skin feel good. But it was boiling oil, and God preserved him, changed him, to preserve him, to bring us to a place to where he was going to write this. Because remember what Jesus said back when they were doing the fishes on the side of the bank after the resurrection. Jesus said, "What is it to thee if somebody sees the kingdom coming?" Well, then remember the Bible says, a saying went out that he was talking to John, that somebody was going to live until Christ came back. Well, that's not what it was.
Right.
John in Revelation saw the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
He saw the whole, to me, this book of Revelation is the whole kingdom. Jew, Gentile, foolish virgin, Antichrist, everything is in this. That's why Brother Dale always calls this the bride's book, because it is. It's for the bride, to the bride, and written by the bride.
Right.
John was part of the bride of that age. John was part of the bride of the first age down here. Has everybody got that? So John was commissioned. So they couldn't kill him by boiling him. So they said, "Well, we're just going to put you in the worst place in the world. We're going to put you on the island of Patmos, where there's nothing but rocks and scorpions and snakes." And they just figured if we leave John and let him roam around a little bit out there, the snake will bite him, or a scorpion will bite him and kill him and just get rid of him. He'll just die. But he didn't. He came back because what did God tell him? To take these things and bring it back to the churches.
Yes.
I want you to get something there. God predestinated somebody to do this. John took a hold of the revelation that he wasn't going to die. Until he saw all this take place.
Amen.
And he's in the middle of Patmos. He's in a horrible place. And then when God tells him, says, "Look, take these back to the church." So he knows he's going to get off the island. What am I saying? You look at the promises in the Bible about you. You can't die unless these promises are fulfilled. Amen. So that's what we got to look at, is that John literally typed the whole bride. Our whole journey from predestination to body change. Listen, some had to change his body while he was in that oil.
Yeah.
His skin would have fell off his body. So he took a body change while he was in the oil. God gave him a temporary body change. Why? Because he told him while he was here, somebody's going to live to write and see the kingdom.
Yeah.
Of course, I believe Jesus knew it was John, but he didn't just physically say who it was. But I like what John writes in the book of John. The one that's closest to Jesus. The one that laid on his breast. The young one that did this. He was talking about himself. He just didn't want to say, "Jesus loved me more than the rest of them." He just didn't want to say that. He was real, real humble.
Right.
But look what John did, though. John spent his whole entire life. All the other 11 apostles died in martyrdom. A lot of them didn't make it past 4 or 5 years after Jesus was born. I mean, Jesus left the scene. Because they were dispersed. James was killed by emperor, and this one went to India and got killed. And they all got killed except for, remember, Peter was crucified upside down. But John was commissioned to see the coming of the Lord. Now, not to see the physical coming, but he did see in physical form. Because watch, let's read this. The revelation of Jesus Christ was God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. See, because when John writes this, they're already in the first church age.
Right.
Get some history behind it. They're already in the first church age. Because the first church age is AD 53 to 170. And this is about 90-something. If you got a Scofield Bible with you, it'll tell you at the top of the page what year that was written. Who's got one? Brother Joe, you got a, anybody got a scope in the Bible?
I have a book.
What is it?
96.
Yes. Okay. So see, he was right in the middle of this church age already when he gets this to send to the churches. Excuse me. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, I'm going to debunk a myth right now. That was not Brother Branham.
Right.
Brother Branham did not appear to nobody in the whole book of Revelation.
Right.
He was spoken of as being the last. He's the last star. He's one of these seven stars.
Right.
Okay? No doubt. But he's not the person, William Branham, because that would mean pre-existence of soul. That means that Brother Branham would have to be full grown, be a theophany somewhere. No, that's not right.
Right.
Now people teach it in a message. I want a quote from that. I don't have one, and I've got everything that Brother Branham says about soul. What were you before you were born? He said, nothing.
Right.
Now in the mind of God, absolutely. But you were nothing before you were born.
Right.
You were in the mind of God and you developed down here on the earth. So if Brother Branham goes to John, he goes back 2,000 years before he was born and appears to John. Now, I got a problem with that. Number two problem I have with it is if Brother Branham was the one that told John all this, why did Brother Branham, the man, have to
get the
seals from the angel?
That's right.
And all the other sermons from the angel that met Brother Branham. Okay, so let's get it straight. This was prophecy. This was an angel that came to John to give him the message. Now remember, too, that revelation of Jesus Christ, God gave to Jesus and Jesus gave it to John. So there's no in between there.
Right.
It was Christ talking and appearing to John, because it's the first thing that happens right here. John hears a voice, turns around and says, hears the trumpet, turns around, he sees the man that he walked with for 3.5 years. Okay?
Right.
So he knows who that guy is. He actually heard the voice and knew the voice.
Okay.
But hearing a trumpet, he turns and sees. Now watch who he sees. He sees Christ in bride form. So watch. All right, let's go through and read. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I just want you to get that out of your mind. There's no William Branham. There's no better. See, that would make him a respected person. God, a respected person.
Exactly.
That would make him to where Brother Branham was born perfect. He was born the angel. Wrong answer. He was born sex.
Right.
And he had children by sex. I'm just going to be plain. So he wasn't God.
That's right.
Okay?
Brother Wade, John.
There's no way he can be God.
Can I just make a quick comment on that?
Sure.
First verse?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
If John types the bride, and we are the bride of Christ, and if you see yourself in the Word the way you should, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto you.
That's right. That's right.
You see?
So if we're, like Brother Wayne said, if we're the bride, today we're reading about what God told us.
That's right.
Okay? Through a prophet, but he told it to us. The correct form, because see, there's a lot of people preaching this today in the book of Revelations. Number one, half of them can't understand what's going on, all the symbols. We had to have a prophet. I'm going to read it this afternoon. We had to have a prophet come so we can even have a revival because it was so scattered. God cannot quicken word that's not seed word.
Right.
That's not real word. Because who quickens non-seed? Not Christ can't quicken non-seed. So that's what he said in the church age book. And it's very common to know that in non-seed there's nothing to quicken.
Right.
So whatever seed, now Satan does sow seed. Remember, he threw his,
right.
But it's what? Tares. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come up. God said, let them alone. Let them grow up. And that's what's happening now. They're maturing. And you see the wheat doing their job. And you see the tares doing their job. So this is God talking to us. But it had that. Well, he had to bring a conduit called William Branham. A conduit to straighten out all the what? He said loose ends.
Right.
And the book of Revelations is the worst misunderstood book.
Yeah.
All the symbols and everything, man's got it, all these different things, but it took a prophet to come and lay them right down and say, hey, this is it. All right. who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So now what's John going to do? John's going to sit and he's going to see a vision. Okay, he's going to see a vision of what's going on. Blessed is he that readeth. We're blessed today. Because we're reading it. Blessed is he that readeth, and that means readeth, not read one time. And they that hear the words of this prophecy, because a lot of this, remember, is going to be prophecy because it's in the future. That's why the book of Revelations is called the Apocalypse, which is the end. Right? In the end time. Blessed is he that readeth, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. How blessed can we be? For the time is at hand. Now, look, the time was at hand then, what? For the revelation. But now it's the time for us to make that revelation real. Make it known, right?
That's right.
John to the seven churches which are in Asia. And see, there's nobody, and that's what gets me is Paul didn't walk through life going, I'm the first church age messenger. No, it wasn't revealed to him. Sure, he was a prophet. Sure, he did the thing. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley didn't come up and say, well, I'm the sixth church age messenger. No, he had a message. But it took this man to take all this and put it together to where all the ages came right and all the messengers came right.
That's right.
Okay? So it did take William Branham to do it. But it was the Holy Ghost that had always knew. See, when the Holy Ghost wrote that, he knew the first church age was Paul, the second was Irenaeus. But he didn't call their name. It was a mystery.
Right, right.
This whole book of Revelation is a mystery. But now it's revealed in the end time who these people he's talking to. Because the seven churches now are right here. They've been told, been revealed. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come. From the seven spirits which are before the throne. Seven messengers right here, Revelation 1:20. So there were seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. In other words, he was what? First one to resurrect to eternal life. Okay?
That's right.
What did I do? Push it down. Move it down. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. John knew he needed a Savior.
Amen.
Washed us from our own sins in his own blood. And hath made us. Now, well, here's the transfer of power. And hath made us.
Yes.
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful and true witness, first begotten of the dead, prince of the kings of the earth, period. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, comma. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, there's the Jews, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Now that covers everybody. He cometh in the cloud, every eye shall see him. Now remember, we see him the way the Bible presents him. Everybody else is going to see him in different ways. Because remember, he's not to the Messiah to the Jews yet.
Yes.
To them, he is the Messiah, but they've not accepted him yet. The foolish virgin will have to accept eternal life at the white throne judgment. And the foolish virgin and cup of water in my name, all that's going to be, but that's everybody. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I'll bring you a little key here in just a minute. Because he says I'm Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha is what? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, right? Am I correct?
Right.
And Omega is the last, like our Z, yeah. A to Z, right? From A to Z. So he's from Alpha to Omega. So what he's saying is this, not to disclude any of this, but he had to start somewhere.
Yes.
And he's going to have to end somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the same person.
Yes, that's it.
I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. So John said, I'm no better than you are. We're the same. I've just been given a commission to write what I see.
Okay.
by the Lord. And the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, that's not Sunday, Saturday. Brother Brown explained that. I guess I'm not going to read this. I guess we'll explain it as we go along. I just want to see if anybody go, I thought you were just going to read that.
I've been thinking
you,
it. But...
You 60-year-old man? Have you already forgot? No, I didn't. I just thought we'd go ahead and just go through it now. All right. Here's red letter. So it's Jesus talking. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Now remember, he was commissioned to write everything he saw, except one thing. Revelations 10, 6, 5. He's getting ready to write the thunders, and John, and the Lord says, that's not for you. That's going to be for the end time.
That's right.
They're the only ones going to understand it. John could have wrote it down, but nobody would have understood it. Okay? Write what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Alright, so there's your seven churches, but the prophet of God, he had them, the Bible had them in line, but they didn't have the dates. So the prophet of God put the dates in there. But remember, each church age laps over each other, so there's not a definite cutoff point and a definite starting point. This was just when they started accepting the message of that hour. Everybody got that? Because you got to remember, in Columbus' time, I think it was Columbus that died before his church age even started. And that flipped people out, but it shouldn't. It's the message, it's the people that catches the messenger's message. That's the importance. If not, it's just Paul preached to himself and he dies. There is no Ephesus church.
Right.
No, Columba brought his message and he passed on, but people took. Same now.
Yeah.
Brother Brown's message is nothing without the people here.
That's it. Yeah.
Most powerful message since the message of Jesus Christ, but it has to come to people.
Amen.
Yes. Not to a tape recorder.
Right.
Exclusively. Mm-hmm. Alright, so now Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. This is God telling John that something's going to... I'm going to send these messages to the church. All right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned... Now look, watch me. Right here. I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And the trumpet said... So remember, trumpets are not notes on a scale. A trumpet in the Bible is a voice. To shout the voice to trump. He shall descend from heaven with what? You know, see, you even in the you read commentaries of people and you read the comment and it's not laughable, but it's all they know. That this great horn's going to sound like a tornado alarm. What? You know, you've seen the tornado drills, you've heard the alarm, you know, and they think that's what's going to happen. Like Dad and his brother-in-law, you know, the brother-in-law thought that there was going to be this beast come walk up out of the, you know, come walking up out of the, right out of the water and got two horns and seven eyes on each horn, and that's going to be a mystery. But we'll get into that. That's why God sent a prophet. That we can be so sure of what God said in this Bible. Right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, John literally was going to turn around and say, hey, Jesus, how you doing? I hadn't seen you in a few years, from AD 30 to 96. I've grown, I'm old, and you're not. But what did he see? When he turned, he saw seven golden candlesticks, which represents what? Or lampstands. Now, you can go all the way back in the Old Testament with that. Mm-hmm. Seven golden candlesticks. Now, Brother Brown described that as, look, one bowl. They didn't fill each individual one of these up. They filled the bowl up. And there were wicks. And as they filled it up, the oil would come up out of one bowl because there's only one Holy Ghost.
That's right. That's
it right. Was the Holy Ghost in every church age, not God pouring here and here and here. No, he poured it in one bowl. Mm-hmm. on the day of Pentecost, he poured it in 120 bowls. Then them 120 bowls poured it into 3,000 bowls, then the 3,000 into 3 million, and here we are today. Because oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So you have that oil, and that's what happened in the Old Testament. I was thinking today, or thinking yesterday. Here's Moses, and here's Aaron standing, getting ready to go into the Holy of Holies. And Moses has got to literally cover that man's whole body. Bible says from the top of his head to the sole of his feet had to be oil. See, that's the type of the Holy Ghost. So you see, the Holy Ghost is to fill you.
That's right.
Not partially fill you.
That's right.
But fill you from head to toe. Now that types the body change, because when Aaron went back into the Holy of Holies, he was standing in front of God. There was no intercessor. There was no Jesus Christ. Easy. There was no human body intercessor called Jesus. It was Jehovah, which was Jesus Christ. We know that. But anyway, when Aaron walked in there, he looked face to face to that cloud. Or pillar of fire, whatever it was. And then here he was, and he had no, like me and you. The Bible tells us now we're to go boldly before the throne of grace. Why? We can pull back. The curtain's already been pulled back on the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
You now are all the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
Everybody okay? Y'all okay back there? Okay. All right. I don't want to get too elaborate. Let's just kind of stay with this here. But the seven golden candlesticks. Now the seven golden candlesticks, there was a person standing in the midst of the seven candlesticks. All right? Now, there's a picture, I think, upstairs. But he saw right here, for those of you that can see her. All right. I'll get that in a minute. This is the church ages signified by the lamp stand or candlestick.
That Elvis, someone can see it for your thing.
Hold on a minute. I can draw decent enough. I'm going to draw it. I said, I'm drawing enough. No laughing from the older people. But now there's your oil going up through each church. You got all the church ages. You got these little things that are lit. And then what do you have? You got a man, because he heard the voice. The voice was a man's voice.
That's right.
Because there's no female voice. Our voice is His voice.
Yeah. Exactly.
We are the female part of Christ.
Amen.
But we don't have our own voice in that. That's what gets us in trouble. That's what got the church ages in trouble. They started letting a woman, not a woman physical, but a woman church, take over. But you got a man standing here. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. But here's his arm this way, and here's his arm this way. He's standing in the midst. He's got his arm stretched out. Alpha, Omega. He's everything. Every bit of part of him is here, 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 and here.
Right.
It's all Jesus Christ in bride form.
Right. Right. That's right.
Transfer of power.
Right.
Jesus goes back to the Father to stand on the right hand of power, but then he transfers that power because watch this. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, or lampstand, one like of the Son of Man. Now, who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ is the Son of Man.
Yes.
Everybody got that? All right, that should be ingrained in our brain. The Son of Man is God in human flesh.
Yes.
The Son of God is God entering into human flesh. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Okay? That's why you call this the Son of God dispensation, because it was God in man.
Yes.
But the Son of Man is God Himself in a human flesh.
Amen.
Okay, everybody got that?
Yes.
But let's see what form He takes. Watch. One like unto the Son of Man, because John sees Him standing here, and remember, John's right here in time-wise. Time-wise, John's in the first church age. He don't know anything about all these others. Not yet. Because Jesus has got to identify who he is and where he is. Who he is and where he is before he can begin the church ages. Because John then says, hey, is Christ in this age? Christ in this age, and this age, this age, this age, and this age. Not just in the first age and the last age. Alpha and Omega, all in between. Right?
That's right.
There was just more. See, this was the, what? The foundation church. And this is going to be the headstone, or the ending church. Cornerstone, headstone. Because remember, the cornerstone came. The headstone didn't come on the first church age. The headstone came here. Who? The Son of Man.
That's right.
So, let's hold it down. But he was clothed with a garment down to his feet and girt about the paps. Now, we're all adults here, so we know what paps is. Breast. Okay? Paps is breast. So why was he, or chest you can say, but paps means breast. Anywhere in the Bible. You say, why in the world? That kind of looks weird. That's the form he's in. Yeah. He's in a woman form now. Mm-hmm. Called his bride.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
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 Now watch what he says. Like unto a man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt. Girt, or got a piece of cloth, about the paps with a golden girdle. Signifying that he's going to be in a feminine form called the bride. Now, Jesus is not a female. But when John looks at, and you look at this whole thing, this is the church ages, and church has always been what? Female.
Yes.
We've been the female part of Jesus Christ, just like, go back and listen to what Brother Aaron, he did a real good job on that. Adam had to have a female bride to reproduce himself.
Right.
He could not reproduce with what he had. He had to have a bride.
That's right.
Christ had to have a bride to reproduce himself. Because
yes.
On the day of Pentecost, he came back to the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, birthed them into the body, and they became the church, or the bride of Jesus Christ. He didn't have a bride when he was on earth. Mm-hmm. Did not.
That's right.
Didn't have a one. Not one person was born again bride.
Right.
Even John the Baptist, that the Bible said was full of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't in his soul.
Right. That's right.
It wasn't in his soul.
Mm-hmm.
Or he'd have been a born again believer.
Amen. Yeah.
But the Bible says what? Jesus says, you think John's so great? John Baptist now, not John the Revelator. John Baptist. You think John the Baptist is so great? The least one of that 120 in the upper room is greater than John the Baptist. Because why? John the Baptist wasn't in the kingdom. He was there to introduce from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He introduced Christ. And then Christ did the work because John went off to sing. Right?
That's right. Amen.
Same way in the end time. I'm just going to be plain. That's why Brother Ram's not with us. That's why God took him off the scene. Because you're not going to share the glory with nobody.
Amen.
But he's going to have a many-membered bride. Just like he did it. He just types in every way all the way down. And it's real consistent how that God has got to have. You say, God's got to. Yeah, he said he did. He's got to have a bride to reproduce himself. He said that. Because remember, go back, like Brother Aaron, go back to Genesis. Everything started in Genesis. Had to have a male-female relationship, even with the animals, to reproduce. So you got to have a male and you got to have a female.
That's right, yes.
That's just the way God said it. So that's just the way he started it. And you know what? That's the way he's going to end it.
Amen.
With a bride. But she's not going to be a baby bride. She's going to be a mature, full-grown bride.
That's it.
All right, but she's got a golden girdle, so she's girt about the paps. His head and his hair were white like wool. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, there's going to be this scenario is going to be all the way over in Revelation 21. Oh, my goodness, it's 10:20. Come on, we got to go. Stop. No, get up front. We'll take this up.